Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You there. This is Dave and Jason.
Hey.
From DC On Screen. It's that time again. We need help from you to grow our show. But keep listening because there's something in it for you. Give us a 5-star written review on iTunes for a chance to win a free DC trade paperback, DVD, or Blu-ray valued at $15 or less. 1 in 10 will win. The winner will be randomly selected with a number generator on random.org and announced on one of our news episodes. It's pretty simple, really.
Free stuff.
Hooray! Anyway, yeah, seriously, do that. It helps us a lot. It's, like, so good. Anyway, sit back, enjoy this brand new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome in to DC On Screen, your guide to the DC Universe on film and television. This is episode 208. This episode we'll be reviewing and getting super spoilery. You guys haven't heard that in a while. Super spoilery on Gotham Season 3, Episode 1, Mad City, Better to Reign in Hell. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hey-ya.
Let's jump into the recap. Gordon finds Lee, but she's in Pleasantville with a new young suitor, so he leaves. 6 months later, Jim has reestablished himself as a bounty hunter who tracks down the Indian Hill monsters. With the help of Valerie Vale and Bullock, he figures out that they're after medication. Oswald Cobblepot tells the press that Fish Mooney is leading the monsters from Indian Hill. Jim gets the police-protected Ethel Peabody woman killed by underestimating the monsters and winds up on the hunt for Fish Mooney. Bruce challenges the Court of Owls via the Wayne Enterprises Board of Directors and gets himself kidnapped by a Talon. Selina's working for Fish, or is she? And Ivy follows, getting herself attacked by Fish's reverse Fountain of Youth character. Oh, and Oswald and Butch try to offer protection to Barbara and Tabitha, who have opened Sirens, a new nightclub. That's about it, isn't it?
I think that was it. Yeah, I think that was it.
Roughly?
Everyone's just diving right into Gothamness. They took every character and said, "All right, guys, we're getting started. Do something stupid." And I don't necessarily mean stupid as in it was bad to watch. A lot of this was actually a pretty fun episode. I don't want to come out of the gate on what I'm calling our season two being a negative Nancy. But they just told, you know, "Hey guys, do something reckless." Maybe I'll rephrase it like
right.
that. And Bullock, we're gonna need you to pitch in real early with some cool lines, like cop and everything but name, because you know Bruce is in leather, or Gordon's in leather now, and we need your lines to be as good as that looks.
Yeah, Gordon seems to be acting more like the Clayface version of him from last season.
a little closer
to that than I would be. Well, then I'm comfortable with.
No, I think he's just actively becoming like Bullock's spirit animal. Like heavy drinking, leather clad, bounty hunter, doesn't take shit kind of guy. Aloof as all hell.
Yeah,
like Penguin's like, "Why haven't you taken care of that? You haven't made it worth my while." Yeah, like this is the guy Bullock wishes he could be, I think, sometimes.
I liked that line.
Oh, it was good.
Did we talk about, or I can't remember if that was the thing I saw and went, "Oh man, I forgot we should have talked about that." It was kind of buried, but there's a Ben McKenzie quote where he's talking about how Gordon might become a different iconic character in the Batman mythos.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about it, but I sure didn't catch it.
Fingers crossed. Please make him the Joker.
That'd be fun. At his current rate, if he gets a little regenerative power, we've got a Deathstroke happening. Like, look at the guy.
Like at the rate of which
he's turning into a bounty hunter.
Yeah, at the rate of which though, at the rate of which the Gotham GCPD members are killed off, it's feasible, I think, that there could be only a handful of people who, at the end of the day, remember who Jim Gordon was.
He can
if
just
Gordon
slip into another identity, no problem.
Yeah, Gordon becomes Joker, But to cover it up and make, like, oh, yeah, they do the kind of the Dark Knight thing with Dent, make Bullock the new Jim Gordon.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bullock shaves off the beard, keeps the mustache, just starts calling himself Gordon.
Out of respect for what he knew the man once was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that shit ain't happening. We don't know.
If he ends up not being that, I'd love to see, though. I mean, he's on route to make a great, you know, guy standing on the rooftop turning on the light for Batman.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But yeah, that didn't happen. We're just kind of falling into our own version of Scott Madison's Next Time podcast.
Ah, yes.
So in my humble opinion, Gotham is better without Fish Mooney.
I agree. So I was actually happy to see that her power is hurting her, because presumably that means there's an end date.
Yeah, but I'm like, how the hell did she figure out that this medication was the medication she needed?
I don't know. Cuddle fishery?
Just fishery.
A little known power of cuttlefish. They know the perfect medicine for any single thing.
I forgot the cuttlefish thing.
The cuttlefish. The fish that loves to cuddle. Man. That's how it got its name. I consulted a man who called himself a scientist about that.
Yeah. So right out of the gate, that spiny backed creature guy.
I was just calling him Stegosaurus.
Right. He was awful.
Yeah, but he died so fun. He died fun. That's all you can really ask out of anybody in Gotham. I don't know. It was a good gag. The bus or whatever the hell, the utility truck or whatever that was, came by.
Mm-hmm. I you know, once again, Bullock, though, is bringing great lines.
Mm-hmm.
When Gordon's given all the reasons why he doesn't want to be a cop, he can get drunk whenever he wants. And
yeah.
It looks like, you really think I don't get drunk whenever I want?
I think, aren't they like passing a flask back and forth in the precinct while they're having that conversation?
Yes, they are. I kind of laughed because it seems so ludicrous, but I mean, I guess it can work. Lucius working for the cops. What do you think, man?
I like it.
Yeah?
I like it. I feel like it has to be related to the Wayne basement somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a fun way to get him involved as kind of an outside analyst, a consultant to the police department in the way.
Yeah.
If anything, it might get us back to the Wayne basement, because something has to, and they're clearly doing other things with Bruce right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can look at this turn and say, I see your value.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. When he showed up, I just rolled my eyes as hard as I could.
Oh no, I was happy with it.
I like the actor. I like the character. Obviously, I just like, what are you doing here? Come on, man.
Yeah. I dug it. It's a good way to get him involved, and it's not crazy that they might, you know, consult somebody of his knowledge base on any given thing, really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sure.
Especially after he's involved himself a few times with police related activities, you know, he's kind of gotten on their radar a little bit. Nothing about it didn't make sense to me. So,
Bruce related activities, otherwise known as bra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Laughed pretty heartily when Selina stole Butch's wallet.
Oh yeah,
in the nightclub. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. What does he say? Like, Penguin. Get over it. And that child just stole your wallet.
That child just stole your wallet.
Right.
Yes.
I love that. Like, across the room from the corner of his eye, he notices that.
Yep.
You can see him just rolling his eyes. Oh, Butch, damn it, Butch. I cannot have my right-hand man, so to speak, being robbed by a child.
What did you think of Barbara and Tabitha opening sirens? Like, what did you think of that storyline?
It's neat.
Like, Butch sending the guys.
It's neat. I mean, it gives her something to do that might be a little more fun. I just wish she'd tone it down a little bit. At least now they're giving her something that's...
Barbara?
Yeah, they're giving her something that's at least fun to watch. Like, she's apparently so psychotic now that the mob is literally not a thing to her anymore. She doesn't give a damn.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got Tabitha at her back, who's just...
frightening.
Yeah, just plain scary. So, yeah, between the two of them, everyone else is just going to hold them, like, way out at arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
And that's neat, but I don't know where they're going with it. I mean, okay. So now that we've established that you can't do anything with her, mm-hmm. do we just pop over to Sirens every now and then? Does Butch start trying to enlist their help on particularly crazy missions? I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it. And it was fun. I just wish she'd pull it back just a little bit.
I am enjoying the subtle, I guess it's not that really that subtle, but I am enjoying the like how Tabitha reacts to Butch still. Like,
Yeah.
She's still digging him.
Yeah, you can see this, like, oh, my teddy bear kind of look in her eye. I don't know how to... Oh, I missed you. I think it's the closest she probably gets to affection.
Mm-hmm. So, I did really enjoy Oswald doting on Edward, bringing him the little puzzle that he just... I mean, I knew he was... As he gave the speech about how the wise men couldn't, decrypt it or whatever. And
he's gonna knock that out in like 10 seconds.
Just a second. Yeah. But he's like, it was a lovely thought.
Yeah. I mean, they have a cool relationship right now. He's his own little concierge that just locked up in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
I dug that he's coming to him for advice on how to handle his situation now. Like, they're gonna make a cool team when he gets him out of there.
I knew Edward was going there. I knew he was going to say it. I think they've even said it on the show before, but he says penguins eat fish.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's where that speech ends. It was good advice, too.
All right, so jumping over to Bruce in the boardroom, the guy saying, I don't have to listen to this, and Alfred, oh, but you do, sir! That is precisely the point I am making. Alfred is, like, my favorite character on the show.
Yeah, yeah. He's a lot of fun. Especially in the board meetings where he's, like, defending Bruce. And you know my favorite part about this is that Bruce doesn't show off at all. He doesn't crow. Like, Alfred...
Well, that would be weird if he crowed.
Well, it would be.
A human boy.
I could still make it work somehow in this show. But Alfred finishes, like, demeaning this board member, and Bruce doesn't make a big deal about it. Just, he's made his point, and he goes back. It's a very mature thing. It's fun to watch this kid grow up.
Yeah, I wrote here, Bruce and Alfred are both badasses.
Yeah.
And it's just the truth. And that comes pretty much right before we just, like, cut to Barbara beating the hell out of some people. Like, they're just, like, doubling down on every character is a badass on the show.
Yeah.
Whether it's silly or not.
Yeah. Totally digging that. Totally digging that. I mean, it's Gotham we're talking about here, and this is the roots of it. It's supposed to be a town full of scary badasses. Do it, man.
Speaking of which, what'd you think of Man-Bat? He was a little bit more like Gods and Monsters Man-Bat, wasn't he?
A little bit. Wasn't there a piece recently where they said, oh, we're never going to do anything like Man-Bat?
Yeah.
And then I turned it on and there was this character. And I'm like, what? Why is Dracula there? Is that freaking Man-Bat? And about the time you see his wings, I finally had to admit to myself, they freaking did Man-Bat. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I was having a huge crisis, though, watching it.
Why?
I couldn't believe I was seeing it. I kept thinking, no way that. But by the time he, like, tries to fly out the window and freaking Gordon grabs him by the ankle, all right, okay, this is fun.
Yeah, and just, you know.
How weird is that, though, if you're Gordon? Like, you go to grab a guy. You know he's weird, but then, like, you've got the guy by the ankle and he starts sprouting freaking bat wings on you. Like, God, I hate this town. Come here.
Yeah, like, that just reiterates the badassness of Gordon. Just, like, if I was holding on to some dude who tried to jump out of a window, and he spouted, like, or sprouted, like, bat wings, I'd have been like, ew!
I would shriek and then pee a little. And then I would find... There's got to be a closet in that room somewhere, and I'm hiding in it. Hide in it and try to find something sharp before I go in there.
There's a Louis C.K. bit where he talks about, like, renting a house in the country, and there's a bat in there, and he just, like, freaks out. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, he hits the dirt, man.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a little bat in there. And he, like, gets on the phone, and the lady's like, yeah, we have a guy. He's like, you have a guy? And he's like, yeah, a bat guy. He's like, it's very clear to me that she was trying not to say Batman. The guy just, like, comes over and just walks over with his bare hand and just picks the bat up. And he's like, that's it.
That's great.
And Louis's, like, fanning himself. Oh, my. May I offer you some tea? I don't know.
If I had her job, that would be my favorite part of the job. Oh, it's okay. We'll send Batman.
But, like, I've seriously, like, walked outside and seen a bat, like, sitting on the roof of my car and just, like, flipped the shit out. Just like, no, Like, I can't get in my car. I can't get in my car until it leaves.
No, they're all over my neighborhood. I swear, I've gone jogging and just had them, like, swoop right in front of my face. At this point, I honestly don't care. One could be in the room with me right now and I just wouldn't care anymore.
Bleh.
If anything, I'd be like, stop making noise, I'm recording, damn bat.
I can, I can watch a video all day of a bat licking a person's hand, but no. Don't put them on. Anyway, so Valerie Vale so far is annoying me. They're so far playing her as the, you know, the sassy photojournalist who doesn't really cop to any of the, you know, badasses, gruff demeanors.
I'm waiting for you to say something that's bad.
It's just boring to me.
Yeah. She made a fine, like, plot device in this episode, at least.
I don't know. I like that he responded, you know, when she was like, ah, oh, what are you going to say? Give me the gruff cop speak or whatever. And he was like, no, I was going to ask you to not ruin this bar for me because it's quiet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I liked that little bit about
that was fun.
I'm going to have fun at another bar.
But, I don't know. So far, I don't see a whole lot of purpose for her other than being a love interest for him. Like, they haven't proven that she's a worthwhile character yet to me.
She did a fair amount of research, you know, on her own and, like, provided useful information to Jim. So far, like, she's got merit.
Kind of, except she was kind of just played.
Oh, yeah, she totally got played. But, you know.
Jim was played as well, like, thinking he was smart. I don't know, man.
Well, he did a good job of trying to play them. And I liked his little speech where he's pretty much outlining, like, he hypothetically tells the woman, like, I used you as bait. Oh, by the way, I used you as bait. Or Peabody, I think that was, right?
Yeah. I'm glad she's
poor
gone.
Poor Peabody.
No, what? Yeah, Bethany felt bad. My girlfriend Bethany felt bad for Peabody. I didn't feel bad for Peabody. She was awful.
Oh, she was
awful terrible. In Indian Hill.
Terrible.
Like, everything Hugo Strange did that was terrible, she's like over there smirking like, yeah, that's right, we're going to do this now.
That's how you do bad things.
And now, like, we're supposed to feel bad for her?
No.
No.
Not really. I just feel bad for anyone who's aged instantly. That looks rough, man.
It does look rough. It does.
I don't know, Valerie's still got some... She had enough merit in this episode, at least. Like, if all she's doing is providing leads to Jim, that's fine. She can stick around. She seems clever. She'll probably adapt. I mean, the writers aren't going to just have her get foiled and locked in a car every week.
Yeah, that was lame.
I kind of dug it.
Are you sure they won't just have her get foiled and locked in a car every week?
I am not, but I'm going to be hopeful on episode one.
Okay. I want to be hopeful. I did enjoy it, mostly.
I mean, with Gotham, I don't start getting cynical till like episode 12. Nine.
Really?
Nine, at least. Yeah. Yeah, usually they start pretty strong.
Roll the tape!
Yeah. They start pretty strong for the most part. I mean, last year we weren't cynical at all. I think they opened with Maniacs and Jerome. We were digging this shit.
I don't know. We actually have tape of what we said, so I'm unwilling. I don't remember, so I'm unwilling to make a statement either way.
It's fair. I'm sure we'll be wrong either way.
I know me, and I'm an ass.
Yeah.
So
it just seems like with Gotham, especially with season two, it started really strong. Yeah, came off a little bit, got a little bit better. Like mid season with Riddler, it was really starting to pick up some heavy steam, and then there was some weirdness at the end again.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like the mirror thing with Riddler.
You didn't like the mirror thing, but then they didn't do it again for a long time.
Well, they did it a couple times. They did it 3 weeks in a row.
They did it, like, a couple times early on, and then they ditched it for a couple months, which was enough time for you to kind of get over it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, loved Alfred just, you know, being totally down with trying to take down a Talon in the middle of the house.
Of course. What more do you expect out of him?
Well, sure. Sad to see him defeated, though, that quickly/easily.
Yeah, but like, at the same time, aren't you happy that a Talon is that efficient? I mean...
Absolutely.
That's playing the character correctly, yeah.
As it should be.
I mean, that would have been a huge letdown if Alfred had won that battle. Like, well, got this huge Court of Owls, but their main weapon can be defeated by a butler.
Actually, I kind of wish they'd done it.
And then just ditch the whole Court of Owls thing?
Oh, okay. Well, let's... Well, no. Well, maybe.
possible.
That remains to be seen. But I would say, you know, it would be really badass if they sent a Talon after Alfred, and Alfred just kicked his ass, and then we just see the lady with the mask, like, on the phone. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. We'll send another one.
I can dig it if they go back to her and she does the like, really? Send the rest. And then you just see like a room of activated talons at the end of the episode.
Yeah. And yeah, I would totally do that. And Alfred just looks at all of them and goes, right.
Master Bruce, Ron.
Which, you know, I don't understand. Like, why did he have to fight Alfred?
He had to take out the guy he knew could fight. Surely the Coward of Owls knows this guy's, like, heavily trained, so you'd take him out first and then isolate the child.
Yeah, but, I mean, shit. Bruce went to the board meeting going, hey, I want to talk to your boss.
Well, and that's what
he just showed up and been like, he should have just, like, popped up at the Wayne Manor and been like, hey, wish granted. Want
to
go?
It's not how they roll, Dave.
I mean, you want to fight and chloroform a kid? No. We'll just
not how they roll.
You know.
If you want to have a conversation, you're going to have to, like, you know, have somebody get beaten up, and there's some intimidation here, and, man, it's...
No, you know what? It just
they
seems
weren't
going to
roll
like
up with a limo
and
a note. Message received. Please hop in.
Why not? Why can't,
they're
going to
call up Wayne Manor and go, hey, look, we sent an Uber over for you. It's going to be there in about 20 minutes. Just, if you would, just put on the blindfold the Uber driver gives you.
Look, man, that's how this shit works.
Yeah.
They send a limo over. Oh, hey, what's up? My name's Kato.
Yeah.
Mostly because I just look like Kato from the Green Hornet, but with this mask and this dark suit I'm wearing.
All they could afford was a domino mask.
Right. I could beat your ass, but, you know, the kid did go to the board and say, hey, I want to talk to you guys. So we're here. Gonna take the kid. You can come too if you want. Seems pretty civil.
I think if I left you in a room too long with this premise, by the end of it, you'd just have the Court of Owls, like, tweeting Bruce. Hey, what up? We're at 20th and 15th. Come see us.
Maybe not tweeting.
Don't tell nobody.
Maybe texting.
Well, a private message.
Maybe a carrier owl.
Snapchat him a picture of the location where they are.
An owl just flies in through the window with a note attached to his leg.
You're going to make, like, the first half of the season is going to be Gotham, if it were Hogwarts.
Oh, gosh.
Well, now that we've completely ruined the show.
What do you think of Doppelganger?
I like him so far. I'm
Who was that boy? Who was that boy?
Well, I like that he doesn't know who Bruce is. That's a good start.
I kind of like it, but I think it's funny that he's, like, stalking Selena, too.
Well, you know, the girl gave him, like, $400, and he's starving in an alley. I would probably follow her around hoping for more scraps.
You don't feed strays, baby.
That's what I'm saying. I would completely do what he did.
Alrighty, so did you watch the promo for next week?
No, I didn't.
There's not a lot there. Bruce talking to the court, you know, the lady, they're like, who are you? And she's like, is that why you're here? To ask questions you already know the answers to? And then it shows her, like, lifting the mask, and then it cuts away.
Oh, good. Go ahead and get rid of the mask. Like, my first question, if I was Bruce, would be, like, could y'all not afford better masks? I mean, those are just bad. Like, Party City pickup masks.
Yeah. Why? I mean, I still don't understand why they're not doing the comic book masks.
Those things were so cool.
So creepy and cool.
Yeah. There is a time to, like, do your own thing, and there's a time to pay respect. And those were really cool masks. I don't know why we didn't just stick with them.
So, yeah. I am not looking forward to the love triangle, Valerie Vale, Gordon, Leslie thing.
Or the love or square, if Pleasant.
The love
guy
square with the Falcone. Yeah.
Well, but we're just on record as saying we're not interested in the romance side of things, for the most part.
I don't mind romance, but I don't like it being dragged out and beaten to death.
Yeah, that's about it. That's pretty much why I just assume that's always going to happen. So anytime there's a hint of, like, a romance angle, I'm like, oh, crap, we're going to do this thing again.
Yep.
You're going to hurt your feelings, you're going to walk in and find this, you're going to do that.
But we know that Barnes is going to take a turn, man. Something bad is going to happen with Barnes. Michael Chiklis has said that whatever this terrible turn is for Barnes is the reason he took this job in the first place. They told him what was going to happen to his character last year before he ever even took the role.
That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's really cool.
I am looking forward to everything with Penguin and Edward. I am
Yeah, actually by the way, Edward fun. In this episode is starting to become just the kind of creepy I love.
Mm-hmm. I even, like, surprisingly, didn't really have any kind of problem with Barbara and Tabitha this time.
They're fine. You know, my favorite,
kind of really enjoyed them.
The best shot they had, by the way, the scene with the guy that's got his nose tied up and he can't speak correctly and they're messing with him, that, I admit, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was.
But then Penguin kind of realizes, yeah, you know what, and puts him down. They cut back to Tabitha and Barbara, and Barbara, like, puts her head to the side and just smiles, like, oh, there's my boy. It's actually maybe the best shot of her I've ever seen, because it's, like, she's just so pleased it ended that way.
Yeah.
It's weird, and I kind of dig it.
So, yeah, I have high hopes that this season will be a really good season.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely got trimmings for it. Oh, and we got an old ivy.
We have an old ivy coming, yeah. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the news episode.
And I was impressed to see Selena actually cries. She tries to play it cool, but damn it, she has feelings.
Yeah. I dug that.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
It is.
And, you know, I've heard complaints about that. Like, she didn't shed a tear when Bridget died. But to me, I always kind of felt... I just kind of felt like she kept expecting Bridget to get screwed over.
Mm-hmm.
She expected that. She emotionally prepared for that because of her asshole brothers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but like Ivy, she didn't, you know? So, anyway.
And Ivy, it just seemed like they've had a very long relationship, and she's been looking out for Ivy for a long time, and mm-hmm. it's like your kid's mm-hmm. sister just fell down a well.
Right. So yeah. I enjoyed this episode for the most part. I had my qualms, but you know. What did you guys think, though? Let us know. Comment. Speak to us. We're still running that contest on iTunes, by the way, so check that out. For every 10 reviews, 5-star reviews we get on iTunes, we're going to draw a name with a random number generator, and that person's going to win a trade paperback DVD or Blu-ray valued at $15 or under. So there's that happening. I think that's going to do it for this episode, though, man.
Yeah, on to Lucifer.
We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. You can find us on iTunes, as previously mentioned. You can find us on Stitcher. We're a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. GiantSizeTeamUp.com for all of the wonderful shows over there. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter as well, DC On Screen. We're also on Instagram. Getting a lot of Instagram followers lately. So until next time, keep some DC on your screen.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.